WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It's Country Music Week on our show. Country music styles have come and gone. Don Walser says he's still singing the same way he did back in the 50s, when he sometimes shared the bill with a young Buddy Holly in small Texas towns. Walser has a gift for singing ballads and for yodeling, but he never made it commercially, so he kept his day job. He worked in the National Guard as a mechanic and administrator, then worked for the state of Texas. He retired in 1994 when he turned 60. His retirement coincided with his first commercially released recording, Rolling Stone from Texas, on the Austin-based label Watermelon. Walser's lived in Austin since the late 80s, where he has developed a large following among alternative rock fans as well as fans of classic country music. Before we feature a 1994 interview with Don Walser, let's hear his recording of the yodeling cowboy ballad, Cowpoke.
I'm lonesome, but I'm happy. Rich, but I'm broke, and the good Lord knows the reason. I'm just a cowboy from Dallas to Austin. The ranges I know, I drift with the wind. No one cares where I go.
Don Walser, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be talking with you today.
What happens to your voice when you yodel? How do you do it?
Well, it's kind of done down in your throat, and you hit a falsetto, and then you just come right back out of it to something else, you know. You know, like, you know, it sounds kind of dumb when you're doing it like that, but then if you speed it up, it's, you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Well, you do an Eddie Arnold song, I'll Hold You in My Heart Till I Can Hold You in My Arms. And one of the things I love about your version of this song is that you don't yodel in the song, but you use that kind of falsetto yodel-like quality in the melody. You just, like, work it into the melody line.
Right. That was Ray Benson's idea. Him and T.J. McFarlane produced this CD, and he said, why don't you try a falsetto on the end of it and just do the melody? He'd heard me do it before on other songs. And so I have to blame that on him. That wasn't the way I usually sung it. But I'm glad that he came up with the idea, because I really enjoy it.
Well, this is I'll Hold You in My Heart from Don Walser's new album, Rolling Stone from Texas. Really a beautiful recording. Don Walser, I'd like to get back to your yodeling for a moment. Do you feel like you know different styles of yodeling, or is there just one style that's the Don Walser style?
Well, I think I do a Jimmy Rogers type yodel. I think we put one, yeah, we did. We put California Blues on there, and it's a different kind of yodel. But I sort of do a Swiss yodel. And I kind of patterned that after hearing the Jimmy Wakely song that Slim Whitman did back in the late 40s, I believe it was in the late 40s, that he did Casting My Lasso. And I liked that Swiss yodel, and I started doing that more. And, of course, Elton Britt did some some things like cannonball yodel and stuff like that got me to doing that.
What's the difference between a Swiss yodel and a cowboy yodel? And maybe you could demonstrate the difference for us.
Well, a cowboy yodel is sort of like, sort of like that, you know. And then a Swiss yodel is more like, you know, it's more of a double yodel than the cowboy yodel is. You know, like an old cowboy song. I remember I used to do one when I was growing up called Rainbow in the Rio Colorado, and it has a kind of different yodel to it, too. And I don't know, it's just I just sort of developed a lot of the yodels because I didn't have access out there where I grew up to anyone else's yodels, and I still haven't really paid much attention. I've been, you know, so busy throughout my life that I really hadn't bought and listened to other folks yodeling.
Take us back to your childhood a little bit. Would you describe for us where you grew up?
I grew up in a little farming community of La Mesa, Texas, right between Lubbock and Big Spring, out on the South Plains of Texas, a little strip of land right below the Panhandle. And my mother passed away when I was about not quite 12 years old. And in those days, the Lubbock County and up in there had a lot of cotton. And the old La Mesa Cotton Oil Mill was where my father worked, and he was the night superintendent. And back in those days, when the mill run, well, you had to be there all the time. So he worked from 6 in the afternoon, in the evening, until 6 in the morning, 7 days a week while the mill was running. And that usually was at least 6 to 8 months during the year, and sometimes even longer, according to the size of the crop.
So your mother died when you were 12. Your father mm-hmm. worked, 12 hours a day at the mill. Who took care of you?
Nobody. I just stayed at home. And so, you know, I would kind of, you know, when you're young like that, you see things that's not there, you know. So I kept the radio going all the time, you know. Even at night, I'd go to sleep with it. And if I woke up during the night, well, I'd listen to it a while. And it's always on one of those old border stations from down in Mexico or the Grand Ole Opry, and I just grew up on that old music, and I almost had a photographic memory, and I remembered most of those songs, and I still do remember most of them, and I never wanted to sing anything but those songs because they sort of helped me make it, you know, through life.
Is there a song that you found particularly comforting when you were home alone at night and a little afraid and you'd put on the radio?
Well, I liked the old heart songs and the ballads more than I did the boogie woogies and things like that. But I think, you know, back in those days, the B movies and the old radio programs that they had, they depicted life, I think, just a little bit better than what it is. And I think today the music we hear, a lot of it, and a lot of the movies that we see depict life a lot worse than what it really is, you know. And I think that's where I got most of my raising was from listening to those songs. I remember Eddie Arnold had a song out one time. It called Rocking Alone in an Old Rocking Chair. And it was about a neglected grandmother. And after listening to that, I said, boy, I'll never let mine do that.
Can you sing a couple of lines of that?
Yeah, let me get my guitar here. Rocking alone in an old rocking chair, I spied an old mother with silvery hair. She seemed so neglected as I saw her there, rocking alone in an old rocking chair. Her hands were calloused, withered and old. A life of hard work was the story they told. And I thought of angels as I saw her there, rocking alone in
an old rocking chair. It wouldn't take much to gladden her heart, just some small remembrance on somebody's part. A card or a letter would brighten life there, rocking alone in an old rocking chair. I know some kids in an orphan's home who'd think they owned heaven if she were their own. They'd never be glad to let her sit there, rocking alone in an old rocking chair.
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you so much for singing that for us. I think I can really understand why you alone without a mother would so relate to this song about a woman alone who is neglected.
Well, that's kind of the why I love these old songs, because and why I try to keep them alive.
So when did you get a guitar? I mean, your family was poor.
that's another story. There's a cousin of mine, J.R. Wright was his name. He married one of my cousins, and they always. I used to get up in a tree, you know, when I'd come home from school. Even before mother died, I would get up in that tree and sing, because I just had to sing, you know, every day. And I had to find a place and where I could do it, because I was kind of ashamed to do it in front of anybody. And I'd get up in the tree and sing. And sometimes I'd stay up there till after dark, and then I'd get down and come in the house after dark. But I remember that years later I would meet some of the folks from home, and they'd say, "Oh, you're the little guy that used to get up in the tree and sing." And I didn't realize he was even listening to me. And my kinfolks would always make me sing, and because they enjoyed what I sung. But they all said, "You need to learn how to play guitar." And J.R. Wright bought me an old Stella guitar way back when I was about 13 or 14 years old. And, of course, I didn't have a book to learn from, and I learned how to grip it like a club instead of pushing your hand out and playing it right, you know. But I'd learned. I went to a Tex Ritter movie and learned the C chord. I got to watching where his fingers were, and some guy down the street knew three or four chords, and I just sort of learned it from other people and watching them, and I really learned it the wrong way. If I'd have been able to, you know, afford a teacher or something, I've probably been. I'm still not a very good guitar player. I can just sort of get by.
My guest is Don Walser. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with singer and guitarist Don Walser. Now, I know that where you grew up was not far from Lubbock.
And that's
of course,
right.
Lubbock's big star was Buddy Holly. And I know that there were times you shared a bill with him, right?
Oh, yes. Of course, back then I didn't really know who he was, but there was a drive-in theater there in La Mesa, Texas, that Skeet Nart had this old drive-in called the Skyview, and in fact, it's still operating. It's one of the last ones that hadn't been closed down. And he had a ramp house where you could go sit in the wintertime and watch it, instead of running your heater in your car, and you had seats that you could watch through the glass in the ramp house. Then he had a big projection room there that he had a little stage on top of it, and he would bring in guys like Hoyle Nix and Buddy Holly, and I would always play with them. You know, each time I would play some, and they'd have a new recording guy, you know, somebody that would come out with a new hit song, and that lived in that part of the country, and they would have them come down and play at the Skyview during between the movies, you know. And I would share bills with him. And then also one of his Buddy Holly's first, I don't know if he's a manager or just worked with him, his name was High Pockets Duncan. And I don't know his real name, but he was a disc jockey on KDAV there in Lubbock. And I didn't have a telephone. And he'd get in touch with me. He'd say, well, Some of you folks over there in La Mesa tell old, they called me Donnie back then, said, tell old Donnie Walzer that I want him to be at such and such place at such and such a time. And that's the way I'd get word. Someone would hear it and they'd come tell me, High Pockets wants you to be so in a certain place, you know. And that's kind of the way I found out, in a way. I did share bills with lots of people. And back then, he was just a tall, Buddy Holly was just a tall boy with glasses, and I didn't really realize who he was until many years later.
Did rock and roll make it hard for you to do your music?
Yeah, it put a bunch of us almost out of business there for a while when Elvis and some of those guys came in. And it was good music, and I even did a little of it myself, but it never was, my heart never was there, you know, so just kept doing what, plugging away at what I do now, you know.
Which Elvis songs did you do?
Oh, Heartbreak Hotel and some of those, I guess three or four of them, just enough to satisfy some of the young girls that was in the crowd.
do a couple of bars of Heartbreak Hotel the way you do
boy.
It.
I don't even know if I can do it anymore. It's been so many years. Let's see. I don't even I got to find the right key here. Well, since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. Down at the end of Lonely Street, Heartbreak Hotel. I get so lonely, baby. I get so lonely. I get so lonely, I could die. That's not very good, but...
That's great. So there was a period when you felt like Elvis and other rock and rollers were starting to put you out of business. What did you do?
Well, we just kept playing. We would do a few of those songs. And I love Chuck Berry. We used to do a lot of Chuck Berry songs. And not a lot of them, but a few, enough to get us through the night, you know.
But I
think that old rock and roll music was great music. And I still love to hear it. We got a group here in Austin called the High Noon Boys that do that stuff. They even made a 78 RPM record not too long ago using the old tube stuff that they used to record with back in those days.
Did you ever want to be the young singer who was really good looking and all the girls fell for, and you know, to become a big like romantic hero as well as a singer?
I think all of us did that going. I had the star syndrome there for a couple of years until I realized that I was having more fun than the stars were, you know. I was getting to play for weddings and old VFW halls and getting right there with the people, and I didn't have to worry about Carnegie Hall or any of those places. But I did have to take my wife. I told her when we married, I said, I'm in the National Guard, and I'll stay there till I retire, and I'm going to be gone some each year to go to summer camp. And I said, I'm going to play my music all my life. And so you got to get used to that. And if you don't trust me, then you've got to go with me. And I sort of insisted when we were young that she'd go with me. And so she could see that I was straight. You know what I mean? But I wasn't a bad looking old boy when I was younger. And had a few pounds off of me, and I did have a few of them try to chase me, but they always was afraid of my wife. You know how that goes.
So she did travel with you through the years?
Oh, yeah, she went everywhere I went back in those days. Now she doesn't go to every place. She comes out to a couple of places and helps me sell what products we have and so forth. But she trusts me now after all these years, and she says I'm like an old dog chasing a car anyway. If a dog caught the car, he couldn't drive it anyway.
Don Walzer recorded in 1994. His latest CD is called Down at the Skyview Drive-In. It's named after the drive-in where he used to perform in the 50s. Let's hear a song from it.
Pardon me if I'm sentimental when we say goodbye. Don't be angry with me should I cry. Now and then there's a fool that we are through. I'm a fool, but I love you, dear, until the day that I die. Now and then there's a fool, such as I.
Our Country Music Week series continues tomorrow with three of the founders of the country outlaw movement, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, and Billy Joe Shaver.